Tragedy is inevitably something all of us experience in this life. Whether it's the natural consequence of sickness, disease, health issues requiring medical care, or just a horrible accident or some evil action that occurs by chance, we're all vulnerable to tragedies in our lives. Natural disasters due to horrific climatic events can also affect us as well. Sadly, these types of conditions are usually way beyond our control. Some become confused by tragedy. They ask, where is God when tragedy strikes? Well, stay with us as we explore this question on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. We are pleased that you take time to view this program and to study the Word of God with us. Today's presentation is one that, well, I think most of us arrive at this question when we look at events that occur frequently in our lives or in the world around us. And the title of the program is simply this: When Tragedy Strikes, Where is God? That seems appropriate to ask such a question, because whether it's a tsunami, whether it's an earthquake, whether it's a horrendous event like 9/11 2001, when airplanes fly into the World Trade Center or into the Pentagon or crash in Pennsylvania, we ask, where is God in the midst of such tragedy? Now, it seems to me that over the course of the last 10 to 12 years, we have had a number of tragedies that have stricken in the heart of this nation, the United States of America, let alone around the world. There are conditions and circumstances and severe tragedies that have affected the lives of human beings. And the natural question is, where is God in the midst of all of this tragedy that we see and the occurrences that happen in people's lives? Now, let me suggest this. I have a memory. I was 12 and a half years old, and this goes back to December the 1st, 1958. I was young, and of course, in those days, we had no CNN, no MSNBC, no 24-hour news cycles like Fox News and other entities, or internet. Didn't have that. All we had was the front page of the newspaper and the 15 minutes to a half an hour news presentations that would come on television. On that date, December the 1st, 1958, there was a horrific fire in Chicago at an orphanage. The name of the orphanage was Our Lady of Angels. It was also an elementary school, going from the kindergarten level all the way to the eighth grade. Some of you who are my age and older will remember that event, because 92 children died in that fire, as well as three nuns. It was horrific. It was tragic. And I was old enough to have an empathy and a heartfelt hurt for those who lost their lives in such a severe circumstance. There was some question whether it was arson, but it was an old school built around 1912, I believe. It had wooden floors and wooden stairwells and all of those things. And by the time the fire was discovered, it was too late. Too late to save the lives of precious young children, orphans at that, who lost their lives in such a severe tragedy. And I can imagine, because of Roman Catholicism being involved with the organization, that the question arose, where is God? Well, as we go on with this program, I want to tell you about some items that we're offering you to help you consider that question. There are booklets and CDs that we offer free of charge, and I want to underscore the fact that we give them to you free. All you have to do is make a toll-free call, and the offers today is a sermon on CD by Bill Watson entitled Origin of Evil. Yes, evil has not always existed. It has an origin, it has a beginning, it has a perpetrator, if you will, and we want to inform you, educate you about it, because in discussions about tragedies, sometimes we overlook the presence of evil in the form of the demonic world. The booklet that we're offering you today is entitled Devil, You Say? Devil, You Say? A question mark. Does he exist? Is he real? Does he have henchmen that he's connected to that populate this world in which we live? The Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. In fact, even terms him as an angel of light. Is it possible that an explanation for so many tragedies that happen can be found in the presence of this demonic presence? Well, I hope that you'll take time to make that toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to secure the free material, or you write us. You can write us, and the mailing address is there on your screen, 3900 Thames Avenue in Tyler, Texas, 75701. As we continue in this program today, I want to remind you not only of that horrific fire of 1958, we don't have to go back that far to deal with tragedies. Let me just run down a list of tragedies that you might remember. For instance, in 1999, that was the Columbine event. Horrific. This was student violence against fellow students at the high school level. Caught us all by surprise and amazement. This was before 9/11. But when 9/11 happened in New York City and all of the nearly 3,000 people who lost their lives, it caused the nation and the world to come to a screeching halt, to consider the gravity of the circumstance, the magnitude of the loss of lives of individuals who had done no harm to the people who did the perpetrating, who brought the act of violence to them. Not only Columbine comes to mind, but let me just read off a number of events, not necessarily in chronological order, but certainly you will know. You can also remember in 9/11 that would encompass the plane striking the Pentagon, or the plane that crashed and the innocent lives on that plane that died in Pennsylvania. But what about when in Arizona, Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot and a 9-year-old girl lost her life to a deranged individual who later confessed to that horrific scene and is now serving life in prison. Or let's travel to Virginia Tech when a young man who was of similar age to the students there at that college caused the greatest massacre on a college or a educational facility that we've ever known. Wow, Virginia Tech? But let's go on. What about Aurora, Colorado? The shooting at the theater there, I believe it is. Or Portland, Oregon, in the mall. What? Can I go on? What about even at a military facility called Fort Hood, where lives were lost? The latest in this line of tragedy as we tape this program, as we record this program, is Newtown, Connecticut. Now, we don't want to date this program, so I'm saying to you that if you get to a chance to see this program air at a distant time, you can fill in the tragedy, because there will yet be more tragedies striking this world because of the presence of evil. My friends, you cannot explain the level of tragedy the level of grief, the level of loss of life when a mother will drown her 5 children in a bathtub. You cannot explain a mother driving her children, 2 children off in a car into a lake. You can't explain it by simply saying, well, she had some psychological issues, or he had some psychological issues. And so many people, have you noticed, describe these people as quiet, detached, smart, brilliant, all those kinds of activities, and yet the level of horror that is accomplished in these situations is indescribable. It is inexplicable. There is nothing that you can explain except to wander into an area in which most people, even believers, choose not to enter. They don't want to talk about the demonic world and the presence of demonic powers that take over the personalities of people and cause them to do some horrific things. Have you ever noticed how so many of them wind up killing themselves after causing such horrific damage on the lives of other people? Not in every case, but so many times it seems as if when the demon is finished with them, and yes, I'm calling it what it is, demonic presence, is finished with them, then that person takes their own lives. Wouldn't it have been nicer, if you can put nice on this, that if a person has those kinds of issues that they would just simply take themselves out? In the case of Connecticut, where these innocent 5, 6, maybe up to 10-year-old children have not done anything to warrant having their lives stuffed out, you must ask yourself the question, where is God when tragedy strikes? But I want to share something with you from the Word of God today to show you that the events that we can record in our time, the events to which we have been exposed, are not unique in human history. In fact, while we talk about what happens maybe in the contiguous United States, the 48 states of this union, or those who live in Canada who are viewing this program can look across the board and say, ain't it awful? Or down in Mexico, where we know murders and death and killing goes on. Or if we travel all the way over to Norway, yes, remember the massacre over in Norway where these young people had come together for a religious retreat? And some individual comes over with his high-powered rifles and his guns and all of those things and kills an innumerable host of people on the basis of some misguided notion that he was doing the right thing. How many times must we suffer through these conditions? How many times in the recent past have we had to endure the presence of evil on such a calamitous level that we can't even describe it? Have you noticed in watching those on television try to find an explanation for it? They go to the psychologists. They go to the psychiatrists. They go to gun control people, or they go to those who are proponents of having free access to all kinds of weaponry. On the very same day that this situation happened in Connecticut, there was a knifing going on in China by a deranged individual in an elementary school halfway around the world. Fortunately, no one died in that circumstance. But can you imagine what parents are going through? Having been a public school teacher myself, knowing how strangers come in and out of buildings sometimes, and some who are angry, especially parents, angry at a teacher. And there have been shootings in other schools besides the one that our attention has been focused in presently. There are many more deaths. I've had an opportunity to drive through my hometown, I shall call it, Detroit, Michigan, especially about 2 years ago when a 4-year-old girl was found missing, or I should say was missing and later found in a burned-out house where she had been killed by her stepfather, and he tried to cover it up by buying a can of gasoline to take back and burn the house and burn up her little precious body. How many stories can be recounted like that? But I want to turn to the scripture now to indicate something to you, that what has happened in our recent times is not new to the panel or the expanse of human life. For instance, if we went back to the second chapter of the book of Exodus, this is concerning the birth of an individual called Moses. You remember Moses, don't you? We call him the lawgiver, when technically he was not the lawgiver, he was the law receiver. But in his birth, an order had been given by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, in the presence of the accumulation of this growing population of Israelites, to which he was concerned. He was concerned that they were growing too rapidly. So he gives an order. He gives a decree that if a male child is born of any Israelitish woman, the child should be drowned. The male child should be drowned. But if it's a female, leave it alive. And it's so interesting that as we read the text here, actually the command is given in the first chapter of the book of Exodus. It says in verse 15, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and see them upon the stool, the birthing stool, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. The midwives feared God, the scripture says, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. An order went out. And when the king discovered they're not complying with my wish, he redoubles his effort again and says in verse 20, therefore God, verse 19, and the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. In other words, they found a justification to say to the king, we are not doing that. But he gave an order. Can you imagine what was going on? And among the children that could have been affected by such an order was the child Moses, whom God was going to use over a span of 120 years to bring his people, the Israelites, out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land. An order went out by a king. Do you think the king came up with it on his own? Do you think he just kind of said, this would be an interesting thing to do. I think I will. It'll make me famous. It'll make me great and grand and all of that. Or was he influenced by a spirit world? You see, there is a demonic world, and there is an adversary called the evil one. He is called that because his intent is to destroy human beings if he can. And how should we do that? Can we do that with bombs? Yes. Car bombs in particular. You see, all of the children we may lose at one particular time, let's say like in Newtown, Connecticut, compared to the children that are lost in the Middle East and other places in the world where children's lives are taken for granted, where they're not important to the masses or to the power brokers of any particular society. Those children die, they starve. Young men are conscripted into military service against their will. Young girls are molested and raped and destroyed and misused and abused in all kinds of ways outside of the borders of the United States of America, let alone within our own borders, is this kind of thing going on. Wow. Must be evil in the world, but where is God? Now, the example I showed you in Exodus, and the fact that Moses was saved because his mother hid him for 3 months, then had him brought and eventually discovered in the Nile River by the daughter of Pharaoh, and look at God's provision in such a situation. And this is an encouragement to anybody who's going through a tragedy, or you witness a tragedy and you realize, ain't it awful? But in the midst of tragic circumstances, God steps in to make provision. In this case, Moses' mother saves him, hides him, then ferries him down, and his sister, Miriam, watches to make sure that he reaches his location. And upon reaching the location, Miriam shows up and says, you want me to find a nursemaid for the child that you have found in the river? And in this case, it is Moses' own mother that is brought to nurse him, and he becomes a full-grown man growing up in the luxury and the important position in Pharaoh's house. But over in the book of Matthew, the second chapter, another event happens. It has to do with our Savior, Jesus Christ, being born. In Matthew, the second chapter, this is where the Magi, as they called them, the wise men, came to Herod, the king of Judah, and said, now, where is this king born, king of the Jews? We want to worship him. We want to come to where he is. And so they had a nice little conversation there with Herod, and Herod says, well, his wise men tell me that he's born over in Bethlehem, and so you're going to go over there, and when you go and tell me, come back and tell me where he is, so I may go and worship him. Well, the angel of the Lord appeared to these men, and by the way, this was not to the stable where Jesus was born, but into a house where he's now called a young child. He's not an infant any longer. So some time had gone by, a couple of years, and I'll show you from the text how that is true. So when Herod had heard these things in chapter 2 and verse 3, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, but out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You see, Herod's problem was he was jealous. He thought he was going to be replaced by Jesus Christ. And so he wanted to know where I can go to kill him, so I won't have to compete with this new governor that's coming along. It says later down here in verse 11, the wise men, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's amazing. Because look at what happens when God now sends an angel or in through a dream to Joseph to tell him in verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be you there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Are you kidding me? You mean the people that will kill innocent children for no reason except out of jealousy, out of spite, or demon possession? Look at what happens in verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child, this is Joseph, and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. But look at what Herod does. You want to talk about innocence? You want to talk about people sitting in a movie theater just out of entertainment, wanting to get away, and some deranged gunman comes in and opens fire in a darkened theater, or in a mall, or on a military base, or while you're going about your work, some deranged individual goes postal on you? What is the explanation? Where is God in the midst of such tragedy? Oh, my friends, take a look at the tragedy that it will unfold in concerning Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, that's angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and on all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under. Why do I say Jesus was two at that time? Well, why would you kill children who are 2 years old if he's just a babe in a manger? You see my point. So he killed these, or required these children be killed according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and Ramah, was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. It's a fair question. Where is God in the midst of tragedy? My friends, Do you understand why Jesus Christ gave instruction that when we pray in Matthew 6, he gave some instruction on how we should pray? Look at what he says. This is the outline for prayer. So you want to answer the question, where is God in the midst of trouble? He is where he has always been. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, Jesus died, the Father had to turn away from him and not witness his death, but he was still in the same place because his power was evident to bring Jesus Christ from the dead. This is what Jesus tells us. When we pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then he drops down and says, And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And other translations indicate that that means from the evil one. We are surrounded in this world by demonic presence that overtake individuals and cause them to do deadly and tragic things. Things that bring tears to our eyes and concern beyond description. Words don't mount up to what we witness sometimes because of the availability of television. But I want to remind you, my friends, that there is a God who sits high and looks low and moves in the affairs of human beings. So won't you take time to make the phone call to learn more about the presence of the demonic world and get the free material that we're offering in today's program, Devil, You Say. That's the booklet. The sermon by Bill Watson, Origin of Evil. It can answer how some of these tragic things happen. So next time, we will spend time with you in the Word of God. Until next time, I want to remind you that if your eyes are wet with tears, if your hearts have been broken because of tragic circumstances beyond any human control, there's a God who makes a promise that he will send his Son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth. And why will he do that? Because ultimately, that which needs to be corrected and to void the presence of that demonic world around us and the control of Satan the devil that has been exercised in the lives of individuals that has affected many of us will be put at bay because our Almighty God loves us that much to send his Son the second time to set things right in an evil world. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.